previously on Good Sex, Bad Sex.
It's like I've done a full circle in my sexual life. Like I started off being like, oh my God, like you do when you're at uni. You're like, oh my God, this is crazy. I'm just going to, every single dick, come here. And then I've gone round now full circle and just gone, I'm actually fine. Like I'm actually fine. I'll wait for the right person.
Hello and welcome to Good Sex, Bad Sex.
It's a bit like Good Cop, Bad Cop, but with more handcuff action.
My name is Bebe Lynch, your friendly friend.
And I'm Miranda Kane, your even friendlier friend.
Coming up,
we're chatting to Anna Richard, and she's a porn producer.
Hello, I'm Anna Richards, and I am the founder and producer of FrolicMe.com.
So, Bebe, you've been spending a lovely little weekend on Anna's website, haven't you?
Oh, I mean, sure, I've got RSI now. Sure, I'll never see again. But what a way to go. In my past, I've encountered porn by women for women.
Right.
And it never did anything for me. It was too romantic. It was just too a bit pink and fluffy and just not up my strata, if you'll excuse the expression. And this was right up my cul-de-sac.
It's delicious, isn't it?
Did you love it?
Do you know what? I loved it. It's delightful. It's not too much. It still turned me on.
Yeah.
And I love that there's so many different things on there. Like there's erotica. I love the films, how they made it a story, but not in like the way that you're saying, where it's like, oh, here's a love story. And then it turns into Bollywood and like instead of sex, you have flowers.
Yeah.
Instead, you do have the sex. You see the sex, but you see the chemistry between the people.
Yeah.
There was more chemistry on some of those films than I've seen in any of the 50 Shades of Grey films.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Which isn't, I know.
Another example on Postman Pat, for instance. Yeah, it was surprisingly hot and really nice. But actually, that's a really nice way of describing it, because it's not offensive. And I'm not against extreme porn. Do you know what I mean? I'm not against it.
I've been listening to some podcasts and I've been talking to some sex workers who are in the erotic film industry and the porn industry. And for them, it's not the filming as such. Like sometimes, you know, you see the faces and it does look a little bit rapey, let's face it.
Yeah.
But for them, it's not the filming that has been the unethical part. It's been where that's then been uploaded to a free porn site, because of course, then they're not getting any of the money.
Yeah.
So I was listening to this podcast called The Butterfly Effect by John Ronson, and I am going to mention it because I thought it was really important.
Mm.
And how people in the valley that make the, not the valleys as in Wales, as in America, where they're making these porn films. And for years and years and years, these men and women, they have earned a really good living. And they're like, the moment that Pornhub came about and free porn, all the money disappeared. And that's when it starts to get unethical. And that's when it starts to become non-consensual, because they can't afford to make a living. Instead, all that money is going into
professions, free content has ruined it for the people that work in it.
Yeah.
But this is dangerous.
Good sex is good motion. Bad sex is a small penis.
Good sex is bang a gong. Bad sex is socks on.
Good sex is when you enjoy it completely and you're with a beautiful girl or your wife, maybe. Bad sex is something that I wouldn't really want to go into and enter into, but there we are, I've said the word into.
Frolic Me is a site that I created and launched 3 years ago, back in 2015, and in essence it's an erotic platform. It offers women and couples somewhere they can go to explore their own personal sort of sexual adventures, if you like. So I offer beautiful films. These are films you can stream, you can download. Short adult films are pretty explicit and naughty in places. Together with that, I also have a range of erotic stories, which are compiled by various published authors. We have beautiful photographic galleries, we have art, imagery, and an online magazine as well.
Why did you start Frolic Me? Why did you want beautiful erotica as opposed to what was out there, or what is out there?
I just couldn't believe how we could have so much beautiful imagery. You go online and you'll see fantastic photographic imagery, very erotic. Sometimes you might see images of women or men sort of semi-nude in just an elegant state. Mm. And yet that never, ever translated across into any films. You know, as soon as you wanted an erotic film, where do you go?
Yeah.
You know, what is there for you? So for myself, as a woman in her 40s, I just couldn't believe that there wasn't something more beautiful and more erotic that I wanted to watch. So I kind of got to a point where I just put my money where my mouth was, literally, and said, I can do this.
Had you had any previous experience in making erotica before in any way, shape or form?
No.
Oh, wow.
It was an absolute step into the unknown.
I want to guess your job now. What were you doing?
No, I was a visual brand person. Right. So for me, you could also say I looked at this and thought, one of the biggest industries out there, you know, the world of sex. Mm. And could I actually think of a brand that I thought had a lovely luxe feel that I would want to go and visit, want to look at? And I just couldn't think of it. You know, you think of everything from clothing to food to, you name it, restaurants and so on. You could come up with a high-end luxe. You can come to a sort of a cheap version.
Yeah.
But there was nothing in that sort of luxe end of beautiful erotica that I could think of. So it was a combination of there wasn't something there. And personally speaking, there wasn't something for me.
What do your friends and family think that you've gone from a marketeer to a pornographer?
I think, to be honest, they've been a bit wowed by it, which is really, really lovely. And all those friends that have come up to me and sort of said, oh, my goodness, you did it, you know, because I sort of talked a little bit about things with them, not actually saying specifically that's what I was going to do. I kind of sounded them out a little bit to see what knowledge they had, because obviously, you know, one woman in their 40s tends to know a lot of women in their 40s, you know. So I sounded them out to find out, you know, did they watch porn? Where would they go? What would they think?
What a brilliant conversation.
So, but I think women are fantastic.
Yeah.
I mean, in fact, I actually put a tweet out not that long ago, and it was absolutely true. I said, you stick six women around a table and a bottle of Prosecco, and oh, my God, the conversation is flowing. And I think we moved on to, dare I say it, fingering? Is that allowed? Is that
We're
allowed
all
here?
We're all about the fingering. Yeah. We would be upset if you hadn't.
I think my comment was, why is fingering so underrated?
Thumbs up to fingering.
Yeah, and we had this very, very interesting conversation all around the table. And the honesty that women have when they start talking about sex. You know, we don't degrade it. We're actually pretty honest about
things. So a million years ago, I used to write for sex mags. I used to write for jazz mags. And my porn name was Jenny Taylor. I didn't come up with that gold, but it was gold. And I did a feature once about porn films that were made by women for women. And they were totally different to what you've come up with. So I was a little bit, what's your stuff going to be like? Because those films, to me, like this is back in the day, were just a bit patronising to women. They were like women wouldn't be turned on by you. I mean, your stuff's explicit. It's beautiful.
It's still explicit.
And it's still around.
I do say
naughty.
I do say it's a little bit naughty. I know.
But it's it's fantastic. And these films were just like, there was a storyline, don't need one.
Yeah.
There was, there was a vase of flowers in the background, don't need it. You know, it was just, it was what they thought the Mills and Boone romance kind of women wanted. And then I also did another feature that was women saying what the porn turned them on. And your kind of stuff is hitting. I thought that your stuff, because we're so used to really extreme porn now online, I didn't know how stimulating your stuff would be. But the images are staying.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know. Thank you. Well, again, you know, when somebody's asked me, so how did you go about it? Why did you produce the imagery you produced? And it was very much what I thought I wanted to see. So I was doing it rather than somebody who's been in the industry. It's probably quite refreshing to have somebody who isn't from the industry actually looking inwards saying, no, this is what women want.
Yeah.
This, you know, we're very naughty sexual creatures, I'm sorry, and we have very, very full-on fanciful imaginations. And we also want some pretty hardcore imagery at times.
Yeah.
The difference is we want to be on a site where we feel we are in safe hands with the person who's behind it and what they stand for and that it's ethical.
Yeah.
And they want to be taken on that journey. The end result, in my view, is women and men get to the same end finishing line. We just come at it at maybe a slightly different pace.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to present it in a way that is lifting sex up. You know, it's it's had some pretty bad press, I think, sex.
Yeah. It's so interesting what you say about the feeling safe on the site, because it does. And you do some really nice copy underneath.
Thank
you. A little bit of kind of backstory and anything. And then people comments.
Yes, people do comment.
Yeah, which I thought was like, yeah, great.
And it's always interesting because the films you think are going to be the big hitters, not always the case. You know, I have out of all of the films that are currently there online, there's a real mix.
Yeah.
So there'll be some group scenes. There'll be some lesbian. There are even, you know, male solo scenes. So, you know, I love a bit of eye candy.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sorry,
that's
ladies.
Because you're naughty.
But I am a little bit naughty. But I do want something that I look at and go, wow.
There was how do you choose those? Do you do like any kind of market research?
With a lot of fun.
Just a quick exfoliation.
Lot of fun.
Do people suggest what they want to see, or do you just go, I've got the muse today? And
I think, again, I suppose I'm looking, this site is very much through my eyes, if you like, but I do get a lot of fabulous feedback from members. So I have a lot of couples that message all the time saying things that they would love to see. In fact, before I actually had an anal scene on the site, a couple had actually written in, or quite a few couples, I should say, and said, look, I know it might be a bit taboo, but, you know, we actually love it. You know, I'm a woman and I have a fantastic time with my partner and, you know, I'd love you to do it in your style. So, again, I thought, well, I don't have any issues with looking at certain sexual actions, if you want, but I want to do it in a way that women feel comfortable. So there are lots of women out there who do like slightly more extreme things, but I want it to be part and parcel of their arousal.
Yeah.
You know, it's part of the female pleasure. So the anal aspect comes in where you can see she's wanting that, and it's not gratuitous, and it's not the image, you're not left with this, oh my goodness, can anything be spread any further? You know, I don't have any of that.
What on male responses to your site?
Oh, they love that too. What's interesting is very early on, I had a gentleman comment, and he said, what I love about your site, Frolic Me Anna, is the fact that I don't feel bad having watched it.
Yeah.
You know, I can see that the models have had a great time. And I do, I try and leave in imagery where you can see there's laughter and giggles halfway through. And, and you know, you remember the moment because they're having a lot of fun together. So I want to show that sex is about consensual sex.
Yeah.
It's about fun. You know, and ultimately it's about female pleasure. That for me is the heart of everything I do. I want to show how sex can be something that women gain an awful lot of pleasure. And I'm sorry, there isn't a man in this world that doesn't think the most horniest moment possible has got to be with a woman who is basically losing herself because she's having the most amazing orgasm, the most amazing time. It will be the horniest moment he will have had.
Maybe not for Elton John, but for pretty much.
For most heterosexual men, I think is fair to say.
I want to talk to you about the contributors as well. So the stars that are in it, the men and the women. So do they come to you and say that they want to produce something with you? Or do you look out for people?
I mean, now I've certainly got quite a name for myself in the industry. So I find I have a lot of models actually get in touch and say they'd love to work with me. They've seen what I do.
Yeah.
They think it's wonderful. People that I've worked with know of them. It's quite a small world really out there, and everybody does talk and everybody knows everybody.
Mm.
I've also got a lot of models. Some people might not realise, some are actually couples. So I've got some married couples on there that work together.
Oh, lovely.
I've got one of the last scenes we did that was published a couple of weeks ago. They were a real-life couple. She only works with him and so on. I always want people to work with people they like and they know.
Mm-hmm.
So I always chat to them and find out who they prefer to work with. There's a fabulous scene, Romp. That was hysterical. These are two friends. And I said to them, right, we want it quite rompy.
Yeah.
And I want a lot of giggles, a lot of fun. And you're basically going to crawl across the floor and he's going to be pulling your underwear off you. Well, quite honestly, it's real life. The giggles, the laughter, you know, we had to keep cut. Can we just, they were almost getting too into all the giggles and stuff and we had to just slow it down a bit.
Do you go on set for all the films?
Yeah.
Do you?
I'm on set.
Do you ever get anyone emailing you to ask if they could, if they've got a fan sexy in mind. Yes. And they
oh, I thought you were going to say if they wanted to come on set.
Oh, yeah. And indeed, if they want to come on set, yeah.
I get it. That there's quite an interesting number of fantasies, actually. One that does seem to crop up more, which is quite interesting, is a little bit of a case of the threesomes, where you'll have, say, two men and a girl, but the men have a little bit of bi tendency, which is quite interesting. That, as a fantasy, crops up quite often, both with men and women. It's where you, almost sexuality becomes a little bit more fluid.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say it's not gay. It's just a sort of a gentle bi aspect. Yeah. And that's something that people are saying, you know, we'd love you to make something like that in your style.
I read some of those comments saying exactly that.
Yeah.
You know, let the men be active in it. So don't
Yes. Just, you know, not anything too far, but where there's a kind of a blurring, if you like, of the sexuality. So I find that's quite interesting.
Do you ever get guys that say, oh, I'd love to be in the film, and use the film almost as an excuse to try out their bi tendencies? Like, oh, if you need someone to do it, I'd love to help out.
Not necessarily on that, but certainly on actually being in films. Yes, I've had quite a few come forward and say, oh, I can do that.
Yeah.
You know, I've got a list of lovers and you know, they would certainly recommend me. So I do have that, actually.
Do fluffers exist?
No. I'll be absolutely honest.
Tears up CV.
I've never yet met a fluffer.
Really?
Yes, yes. But maybe, I think that might have been more of a throwback from the 70s, maybe. I think it was something that might have happened there. Or it was basically just another of those sort of porn stories that floated out into the world.
Yeah, Viagra.
I think all the men just went, oh, wow.
So Anna is the most prolific porn producer in Europe now, which is incredible, and kind of up there even against the American publishing houses as well, which is amazing. Is there a rivalry between Europe and America?
Not really been actually terribly worried about what was going on in America. I mean, it's been wonderful because although I've only been publishing now for 3 years, I've actually been nominated for 2 years running by XBiz, which it's a little bit on par with sort of Golden Globes, if you can imagine it, in the porn world. And it's wonderful to be nominated for Erotic Site of the Year, because it does sort of show that those sort of big hitters in LA are actually aware of, if you like, this different style that's sort of coming out. Having said that, I didn't sort of enter this world because of trying to, if you like, compete with another within the industry. It was more, I just felt this was something that was lacking.
Yeah.
And I felt, particularly post all the 50 Shades phenomenon that was just incredible, I did feel it was time that there was something for women to enjoy, because it has been so male-focused, and obviously the tube sites are testament to that. They also just totally take over any search. So, I mean, for anyone looking for some beautiful erotic films, the difficulty you have is as soon as you put in a keyword associated with any of that, you'll literally be inundated by sort of 3-4 pages of every different tube site possible. I find that, you know, people are prepared to come and pay for my style of ethical, beautiful quality. You can tell, if you like, there has been a high production value there. It's not just a cheap little cine camera sort of lurking around some dodgy garage.
Yeah.
You know, it's nothing like that. There is a beautiful cinematography style to it. And I think it is actually bringing a different audience to this world of erotic entertainment who wouldn't ever dream of actually going online to a tube site or anything like that, because they're worried. They don't know. And the problem is, these tube sites, you don't really know who's behind them. You don't really know. As soon as you go on them, you might find
you've lost a kidney. You don't know where it's gone.
Well, you have a load of nasty pop-ups. Yeah. You know, the number of times you get some nasty sort of diseased pop-up sort of lurking there, and, you know, demanding a ransom. And you're there going, I was only looking for a little erotica, you know, and all of a sudden you're held to ransom. But I do think it's quite interesting how there is a different wave of audience, definitely, coming to this sort of entertainment.
I think what would be interesting would be to see how an audience that have grown up in porn now, and how extreme it is, and the whole kind of romantic explosion on the face, that's quite a nice way of saying it, at the end of every kind of film,
yes,
how they react to the stuff you're doing.
Yeah.
Because you'd imagine, in a way, they'd be so extreme in their taste now. You know, you start on weed and then a month later you're on smack.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Is it the porn equivalent?
It's interesting. I think the problem is that the porn of the then, if you like, and also the porn you see on a lot of these tube sites, there's no real sex feeling. There's no real chemistry. And I for me, that's where the sexiness actually comes, seeing two people really into each other, having a fantastic time where it's not a performance. This is something that they are genuinely together on, and they're there to fuel each other and sort of drive each other's inner passion and so on. You don't get that in just your normal 8-minute quickie on the tube site. So I think it's a different way of looking at it. I personally speaking, I think my style of film is much, much more erotic because it's real sex.
Yeah.
You can't miss some of one of the films, Please, Please. You know, it was a girl's first time of having a threesome.
Yeah.
And it was an incredibly erotic experience, and we wanted to capture it in such a beautiful way and give her an opportunity to experience something deeply erotic. And it absolutely shows.
Yeah.
But it's respectful. It's all about just bringing out the sheer pleasure of sex. And for some people, they may not have ever experienced that themselves. So it's an educational platform as well,
yeah,
to sort of show guys and girls, look, this is what sex can really be about.
What's it like being on set when something like that's going on, though, when it's like super hot?
It is super hot. I'm also concerned, are the cameramen capturing everything? Is everything still rolling? Is she about to fall off the table because she's having such a mind-blowing orgasm? I have an awful lot of that sort of going on in my mind. But it is a very raunchy experience, and it's a privilege as well to sort of be in a situation where people trust you in how you want to portray that sex. And, you know, it's a privilege as well to be able to sort of say to the world, I now want to translate that into film, and here it is. And this is my portrayal of great sex.
That's such a nice way of putting it. Sorry, that is such a great way, like, of saying you, like, not just to be there making it and filming it, but also for people who are going to watch it, to say that for you watching this video is a privilege, not a right, which is what people are getting from
all the free stuff.
Yeah. And I think it's films like these that are really going to help to burst the bubble on free porn. So I really love them.
Thank you.
What do you see as the future of porn?
Porn's always going to be there. There's always going to be that visual stimulation. It goes through trends, it goes through waves. You know, what's the next thing? For me, certainly bringing a much safer environment for people to work in, both on set and for people to actually safely watch from their homes as well. I think that's important. It's a two-stage situation. People need to be safe when they are parting with their money, whether they're parting with their data about who they are watching it. They need to know that this is also ethically produced, that they can feel that no wrongdoing has been made. You know, it takes on a much more professional level. I think certainly my style of erotic filmmaking is trying to turn that table and say, we're doing this in a very professional manner, and this is something where we're elevating porn or erotic porn. There are moments where I really hate the word porn, I must admit, but it does sort of explain to some extent what it is I'm doing. I do wish that things could be dealt with far more professionally than they have been before, and I think we have an opportunity to now do that. People do love working in this industry. You know, for anybody out there that sort of goes, oh, this is terrible, you know, this is morally improper, have they actually met some of these people that work in this industry? Because that's not the case, and I'd certainly never wish to work with anybody who didn't wish to be there. These people love doing what they do. They choose to do it, and they want to continue to do it, and they want to work with companies like myself, where they will come along and be able to professionally work in a safe environment and really enjoy what they do, and likewise be able to give the sort of performances that they do on films such as mine that are a fabulous entertainment for others who have the opportunity to watch it. So for me, yes, it's making porn a professional industry and actually getting rid of the smut, the low life, the negative. Alone. Yes, there's a terrible stigma. Yeah. It's never going to go away. So I think the only way to do it.
It's part of the excitement of it.
No, we don't want it to go away. But for some people that think, if they keep sort of pushing it down and pushing it away, it's going to suddenly disappear. It won't. So let's just do it properly. You know, let's do it above board and be seen to do it above board.
Is there a market, do you think, for kind of freckly middle-aged...
Are you asking?
No, I'm just putting it out there. Lady, trolling me.
Make it really meta, so it could be a picture of you watching the film. Oh. That's a picture of you. We can go down.
My child to my right. See, she always knows.
Deep mirrors.
Well, I tell you what, people love making their own, if you like, private.
Yeah.
Little film clips or whatever at home, and that can be a lot of fun too. Yeah. And it's terribly easy now. We've all got smartphones pretty much these days that can film the most incredible footage. If you've got a good artistic eye and you don't shake too much, then...
There was a great one of one of your girls, beautiful girl. I could hardly say the words, Miranda.
Do you want to whisper it and I'll say it?
Masturbating. And she was doing
pleasuring herself.
Thank you so
there
much.
We are.
And she was doing the selfies. And I just thought, oh, that's so cool. She's kind of brought it to the Insta age where this girl's like legs akimbo. But, you know, hashtag.
Yeah. Well, we've done a FaceTime one. Did you see that?
If you go back,
there's a great one where we did a FaceTime. And in the film, you've got the guy sort of in a bedroom. And you can tell it's shot in such a way where he's on a different time zone. Whereas she's in an office and she's got her laptop up and she decides, you can see that it's gone quite dark in the office.
Yeah.
So she's working late and she decides to actually start playing with herself in front of the laptop.
Oh.
And he's in his bedroom, sort of miles away, watching his laptop, watching her. So, and you've got the two of them sort of getting off on it.
Yeah.
And that's a fun one to watch as well. So, we bring technology right into all of our scenes as well.
Brilliant.
Do you know what I want Frolic Me to do? To have a Frolic Me wedding. So I know you've got some
frolic
couples.
Frolic Me wedding?
I know you've got some couples, but I'd like you to, you know, fix up. Gorgeous boy, gorgeous girl.
What, and then film it?
Well,
film the wedding night. The wedding night.
What?
Film the wedding night.
Thanks very much to Anna Richards. Check out her website, Frolic Me. What an incredible story.
That's amazing, isn't it? I'm in such awe. Like, I love that she just stopped the profession that she was in marketing and decided that she saw something that she wanted and she was going to go out there and make it herself. And I love that kind of attitude.
And in 3 years. So yeah. Award nominated, the most prolific producer. She's got balls.
She's got access to some balls as well.
I'm sure Frolic means something really rude, but I can't work it out. My name is Bibi Lynch.
And my name's Miranda Kane.
Good Sex, Bad Sex was produced by Sam Bonham.
And if you're into what we're doing, please let us know. Give us a review on iTunes. That would be brilliant. 5 stars, though.
See you next week.